And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good evening, good evening, good evening, wherever you find yourself. I do hope you're already at home, guys. You're not like the many, many, many people I see here alongside the, you know, this late in the afternoon who decide to go for a jog, who decide to go for a run. Sometimes you see that if they go with some of their dogs, that the dog is slightly more, how do I put it? The dog is slightly more energetic and excited for this, you know, session outdoors or this outdoor session, because the dog knows that it's benefiting more than the human is or its human master is. And if and all, if you are doing that, well, let Eagle FM provide you with the extra company in terms of providing you the in-depth discussions that we do so on a daily basis for you. Now, this is your Business and Economic Zone here on the BEZ on your number one talk radio station. And yes, guys, I'm already ringing that little bell going ting, ting, ting. We are still on the 4IR discussion. Now, tonight's one will have a small dose of Kanjengo in it, because I need us to look at an energy component. An energy component that speaks through to the energy sources we have, because I asked him, what do we do with these energy sources? And before we get into that, before we get into my contribution, I want us to have a listen to his contribution. Now, it's key here, guys, because everything dealing with the new industrial complex radically changes everything that a modern economy looks like, or a modern economy is known to look like. What I'm currently saying is that the current sort of like, not pervasive, but the current energy source is predominantly based upon a fossil fuel. The current energy source that transports goods and services, that provides, that actually feeds into much of the pricing structure of goods and services you find in an economy. Case in point, if a small little conflict that we on the African continent, that we here in Namibia, we are not impacted as much by it. Not to say that any conflict is small, apologies for that. But a conflict that is not our conflict, somewhere in Eastern Europe, between two Eastern European countries, is creating major chaos because of the knock-on effects. Not the knock-on effects, let me call it like the knee-jerk reactions that have been met or allocated towards that conflict.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika na umpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kurugane yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro lieyo wamba zuma okoko, zimo gwana kuma puku rugomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, coming back from that quick break, the main point I wanted to share, just before we get into Kanjengo's contribution, is one key aspect. Now, I signaled to you, you know, what happens when a geopolitical crisis occurs, for example, like that Ukraine conflict. And then because sanctions are thrown to one of the world's biggest gas and oil producers, we then all feel the pinch. Now, that just shows you how dependent the global economy is, or exposed. If you want to use the word exposed or dependent, it's your freedom. But both terms actually are applicable to the scenario, because when a far-flung conflict where people decide to take a side, they choose to select a side, support the side, and select or choose to demonize the others, the aggressor in this conflict, by slapping on sanctions and so forth, we are stuck in a quagmire. We are stuck in quicksand. We are stuck in a swamp with no compass. We don't know where we're going. the prices will just becoming, the prices will just keep on escalating. Things will continue to just get more expensive. But when you revolutionize the energy discussion, when you bring in a component of saying, listen, we are sitting with major deposits of various, various forms of energy. Look at Namibia's portfolio. We've got the uranium. We've got the oil finds. We've got the solar capability, and we are going to get into the green component or the green energy component. We actually have a portfolio. We don't come with one thing. We have multiple. The ability to provide multiple. Now, getting into the nitty gritty or getting into the key point of our discussion, I'm gonna let you guys have a listen to Kanjengo in just in terms of providing his insights with regards to the energy sources that Namibia has or the availability of these energy sources. For that, let's have a listen to what he says here.
Because if you take a look, like for diamond alone, it brought in around 3 billion just in 2 months.
Yeah.
If you look at gold, gold alone almost brought in a billion just in 2 months.
Yeah.
And uranium in just in 1 month, it brought in 1 billion. So, because France gave us around 600 million, then China gave us around 500 million, and those are just in 1 month.
Mm.
Now imagine now if we start also to think how we can utilize these uranium as a source of energy.
Mm.
But the future that people keep talking about, it starts today. We need to start planning. We need to start introducing these things. We need to strengthen our nuclear faculties at UNAM or at Poly to start doing research, to start having human capacity who are able to run reactors and do small research just to complement our energy sector. So, because that is what people are using uranium for.
Mm.
But until we start with those small basic things to have a good foundation on how can we utilize uranium, or are we comfortable of getting 1 billion a month?
Yeah.
While we can actually get 1 billion and at the same time take some of that uranium and start making it an alternative source of energy, because we need a lot of electricity. Our energy insecurity, it keeps widening.
Yeah.
So all those basic things need to be done when it comes to our mineral. Rather than just us keep boosting that, we are the third or the fourth producer of uranium, it's useless.
Mm.
Until we get it to such stages where we are doing small things until we are there.
Exactly. And then just lastly on that uranium component, Kanjengo, if I can just ask you also once again to play another weatherman's role in that scenario. Currently in Namibia, we have the green hydrogen drive going on in terms of getting to a clean energy solution. And then some of the other global voices have also indicated how nuclear energy has actually been the cleanest energy source that we have found. The only major concern has been about what you do with the waste. And then on the other side, it's always still going to be our dependence upon the fossil fuels. Just in that same space, I mean, energy is now the core thing that makes any modern economy actually function. What would you think would be perhaps the opportunity cost? You know, because these are now three options that Namibia has on its table in terms of which direction we can pursue the most and utilize at to the fullest. But just looking at the next sort of like 10 to 50 years, perhaps, Kanjengo, what does the situation look like for an energy source for Namibia's needs?
Yeah, and this is the beautiful part. At the stage where we are, Dwight, we can be crazy enough to explore anything.
Mm.
So that is one thing that I appreciate about our stage of development, is the fact that we are so far. And the beauty of being so far, is that we get the chance to explore.
Yeah.
We get the chance to try anything. We get the chance to invest. It's not that we are actually changing infrastructures to cater for nuclear. No, we don't have infrastructure. So we are literally having that freedom to combine or to have our energy mix, a better energy mix. Because right now, if you look at our energy mix or our strategy or our renewable policies, it's mostly just focusing on wind, then solar, then some biomass. But we have a chance to actually expand further to anything that our country has potential to do. So that is the beauty actually that we have.
Yeah.
So that's why the future look a bit better if we can explore every alternative that we have, if we can just be crazy enough and proactive enough to understand what is at stake. Because the thing that we have is this. We go with the wind, man.
Yeah.
We go with the wind so much. If somebody starts making noise about, if the Europeans start making noise about, solar, then we go with that.
Yeah.
It's about now being also having that autonomy to decide our energy direction.
Mm.
Yes. We are one of the countries that are so vulnerable.
Exactly.
When it comes to climate change.
Mm.
So we can drive our own initiative in situ when it comes to our energy mix.
Mm.
And we have abundance of uranium, the biggest mines, and more being explored.
Yeah.
So the opportunity for Namibia for nuclear energy is endless. And if you just look at what China, what France are getting from us, it's bananas, man. And it's because also France also have nuclear reactors. They are one of the countries that in the world that they have reactors.
Mm.
And it give them that energy security. Because if you look now at the German, and if you look at France, Germany needed that gas or whatever from Russia. That's why they are more vulnerable to the Russian and Ukraine crisis. But France is somehow playing ball to say, let's just be cool. It's because of their energy security that they have, that they have their reactor, and they are able to utilize them to have some, at least some base load, some better base load compared to the others in Europe. And that's why for those few months, France has been coming here to buy uranium for their reactors.
Mm.
But before, it's been just mostly just China who is taking up our uranium.
Mm.
So do you see how countries are playing it safe, having different alternative in place, and that is something that now Namibia needs to explore. But it starts with our universities. It starts with our Ministry of Mine. I remember asking them this: that what research is being done about nuclear energy?
Mm.
And literally, there is nothing within the ministry. There is no strategy. There is no plan. But you can now see the significance of having uranium.
Exactly.
Every guy is standing on the reactors in Europe for those who have built the reactors because of this dependence on Russia, which is messing them up.
Mm.
So we can learn something from that, and we can start now to do research to empower people so they can start doing something to see what can we do. We have a world desert.
Mm.
We can set up our reactor there. We can find ways to store it.
Mm.
I mean, the waste.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Exactly. Kanjengo, on that note, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us once again. And also, now that does bring us up into the interesting discussion. I mean, just, and I'm just sticking firstly to the deposit, not the deposits, the let's just say the wealth, the gross. I'll use the word gross because Namibia enjoys an abundance of natural resources. We are disgustingly well endowed with natural resources. I say disgustingly because it is ridiculous. We're 2.5 million and we have so much natural minerals in our country. But take the key phrases, take the key contribution, because I deliberately did not ask Kanjengo about fourth industrial revolution, because I'm going to factor in what my next literature research or literature component adds into the 4IR. Now, just before we hit the next ad break at the top of the hour, the lines are going to be open, guys, from 7, but intermittently, I'll still be sharing some of the literature that I've got here open in front of me. Now, the key thing is, guys, even though you have access to a mineral that can generate the energy that you need, the fourth industrial revolution will change the way that energy consumption will also take place. It will change or actually bring innovation associated to the way energy will be utilized, because you've got to factor in, you know, we can't just say we've got uranium. I mean, one of the regular callers here to the Eagle FM, and I know, and you know who you are, in terms of the various uranium deposits, with most of the uranium mines deposited at the coast. The most likelihood, we've got uranium here to the east of us as well. So Namibia, for better part, people, everyone was thinking, you know, okay, uranium is just associated at the western part of our coastline or of our country. We have it here at the east as well. We have it here at the east as well. You've got the Chinese to the east, to the west, and you've got the Russians trying to explore in the west, in the east, sorry, in the east, in the Kalahari, or on the Kalahari. So, we've got uranium. Why can't we build uranium power reactors or nuclear reactors? I know the word, the moment you say nuclear, even I also shiver a little bit. It's a frightening prospect, but it's one of the most longer serving, cleanest, potentially cleanest energy sources that is there. Look, guys, I'm not a nuclear physicist, but there's been a handful of contributions saying the only thing that will happen is just constant maintenance of the reactors. Constant maintenance of the reactors. You can cool it by, since Namibia doesn't have much fresh water to share, you can cool it right next to the sea, right next to the coastline. A nuclear reactor at the coastline. Because clearly, South Africa's Kuiberg is not living up to its potential. The unfortunate thing with Kuiberg was, Kuiberg is and still is Africa's first and only nuclear power plant. But for reasons unknown even to me, because I didn't go that far into Kuiberg and Kuiberg's history, the main component there would have been Kuiberg could have supplied power to the whole of SADC. Kuiberg could have done that for eternity. Kuiberg would have done that. The South Africans would not have complained about load shedding. Not that they care whether or not the rest of Africa exists. Don't worry, guys. This is just something I've also witnessed and observed myself. Many South Africans don't know where Namibia is. They don't know. They still...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, Omanjirongo or Durataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, Enderinapa if you record a paparoe, more education, Ukarolong if you got a Ufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology, or strategic management and leadership, Natai Monica, no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, Ekuterera. Environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. We're there, Oto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po mbiro da IUM dikuli po pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nkuru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae, Ota de Monica. We're there to hangi kongo di ya venduka. 061 ongo di ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufeto korori rimonjira toi kombona kuiwa inerao pamwena IUM.
Now we come back from the extended break right there, and you know, just with a little bit that was provided from the discussion just before the break by Kanjengo, and as promised, the phone lines will be open from now 7 o'clock. Well, it's technically 2 minutes past. You can come through, but I have to ask you to limit your contributions, please, guys, because I don't actually want the 4IR to extend into tomorrow as well. Reason being, you know, especially if you combine energy and the Industrial Revolution itself together, because energy itself is constantly changing. Energy, the energy market or the energy industry is not dictated to by the 4IR. Some of the key things or takeaways that I've read is where a lot of the authors are signaling that the 4IR will change the way energy consumption or energy is, or the new innovations to energy. Sometimes not. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Nuclear physicists, anyone that's a physicist in any line or a energy or a nuclear engineer, those guys have thought 10, 20 years in advance. We are just coming now all along. I've told you guys about Tesla, Nikola Tesla, where if you've read the man's life story, you would have found out how brilliant the guy is to have invented electricity, sustainable electricity. Now, on that note, if you don't have the studio line, you can come through at 083-288-401. Let's have to listen to the first caller. Eagle FM, good evening. I almost said good morning. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay, and you, Agabwana. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Agabwana, super busy. Super busy.
Yeah,
super busy.
I see. I can see. But I'm still enjoying the presentation. So I was listening to you today who was talking about Germany transport import.
Yeah, Germany going import to Canada.
To Canada. And then they went to number. So now they are doing that now. Is it so that means it's not only us, for us I will understand, because we have been in the case. So for them now, that I know that if you have, if they could have looked at us a long time ago instead of just colonizing us, but now they could
Angabona, you'll be allowed that blunder. You'll be allowed, Angabona. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's an allowance.
Now they are learning to do this to Canada when they, you know, they could have started here, you know. Of course, I think God, they are putting on $500 million for at least training and many other preparation and pilot projects. But I'm just saying that at least for us, I know it may take long, but we are actually on the good track.
We are. But in their case, it's a matter of urgency for the gas, the LNG. So it's not the green hydrogen. I think we will be in the same scope with Canada.
We definitely, because this is in the same area. So let them just support us very well here. Develop and help us to develop our capacity, and then at least we move forward, because I know there are big interests also here now. So in near future we can start exporting this product to them, and so please let them help us so much here. So the Americans, they are also doing the same thing. I don't know, was the world so blind or ignorant about these complex issues that are coming now? So they have just been applying this soft approach.
Wow.
These ones. And now the world is here. Now Russia is there. Now everybody is just panicking. What is the issue?
In all honesty, Angabwana, if you had to put it down to something, one key thing that you can attribute it to, it's just been to normal global human behavior, meaning you just pull back to global politics in that sense. And you ask, well, if you've ever watched some of the international sources that can give you a pretty balanced picture of what's going on, then you start seeing the unnecessary politics that actually aims to keep Africa in a certain position. That's now Africa. South parts of South America, especially Brazil, as well as also especially Bolivia and Peru, and now Colombia is now part of it, and also Venezuela, because the vision out there, especially if you come from a, if you look at a capitalist perspective and you look at a socialist perspective, having a socialist government in some cases seems to be evil, especially in the United States. But the United States knows that on the African continent, we as Africans, we have a socialist and socialism component to us. We have community aspect to us. We always think of a community. Doesn't matter if Namibia has 15, 30, 20 tribes. We will always speak of we are Namibian, even though we have our own subgroups under that, we will still have a community sense. Because everyone knows how a Namibian acts.
And true, my brother. You have said it. You have said it all. And this is the approach to the to true development that we need to adopt, so that at least we have that social ownership of our resources.
Exactly.
Production. So, and this is how we should be doing it, and so that we can not. Nobody should feel left out or should be left out. So it's inclusive development. So let's end up here so that the others can come in, my brother.
No problem, Agabona.
But the aspect that you have just mentioned is despite irrespective of all these other tribal and all these things, we have this common understanding of socialist approach. And those socialist theories must be promoted so that at least people take the ownership.
Exactly, exactly.
Thank you very much, my brother.
No problem, Agabona. Now, just in that key takeaway, guys, as I mentioned, obviously, if you always want to understand, you know, some of the global things, there's a lot of noise that you'll first have to work through. But unfortunately, when you weigh up pros and cons, how it impacts you here in Namibia in a global scenario, for sure, you can always have local policies and local decisions and local executions of various policies and frameworks impacting you directly right now, today, tomorrow, the next week or next month. The key thing is sometimes it's based upon a reverberation somewhere. But let me not digress in terms of just giving you a little bit of an explanation with regards to some of those key moves. We now still stay on the 4IR and energies discussion. Now, it's pretty saddening, guys, to understand. And we also have to understand our position. Because if you've ever been, and I'm going to use this analogy and this example. If you've ever been in a fight, one of the few things that you've always learned very easily as a human is you have to understand when you are at a disadvantage and when you're not. It's all about being strategic. Now, the unfortunate thing is we as Namibians know our country is only 32 years old. So the cost of having nuclear energy at our disposal is a bit intense. But let's get the next caller in for this next discussion. ELFM, good evening.
Yeah, Dwight, how are you?
I'm all right, and you? How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I hope you can hear me now.
Yep, no, you're clear.
Yeah, Dwight. You took it, Richard. I just wanted to know, man. I don't know if you're a student of political economy. In political economy, they say that there's something called the candlemaker's petition, and it so goes that if the sun would go black, in the theory of political economy, the sun would go black. People like candlemakers or lamp makers and torch makers, you know, these guys who manufacture light, they would be happy because they would be in business.
They'll be the monopolizers, actually.
So I'm wondering, I don't really know this field, but I'm wondering, do you need a drive to get a new idea going? Like with green energy, do you need to create that panic of the environment getting damaged and climate change? Do you need conflict, you know, to first
spur into action something?
Yeah, to spur into action the manufacturing of guns and whatnot, and drones these days. And we've been hearing these concepts like alternative energy and surgical strikes and it's a justified war and, you know, healthier vegan meat. So I don't know, maybe you can touch on that.
Well, the vegan meat, the vegan meat is a different one because just to help you also there, Richard, the key thing has been what I found out. And this is firstly, I didn't believe it. I actually stumbled upon this information by being shared with it by my sister, because in my family, we are actually open to new ideas and we always absorb as much as possible and talk to each other. And she told me, have you ever heard of insect protein? I said, what? She said insect protein, because in, in Europe, Holland, or especially Holland, I'm zoning in into Holland. Holland, there are research labs, because Holland is also strong for research and development. Holland is exploring whether or not to substitute animal protein, meaning what we as Namibia can sell as a commodity, beef, what we can sell to them. They are looking at replacing on their side so as not to be dependent on us. So,
but I do know that you come from a farming family, like cattle farming family. But
yeah, that's on the one. That's on the one side, on the mother side. On the father's side, my father's a miner.
I understand that. Yeah. They say in science that there is something called a superior protein. They argue that legumes are more superior than meat.
Yeah, if you eat a peanut, you get more extracted minerals from it. Because
yeah,
peanut,
like if you mix,
yeah,
like legumes and barley and whatnot, and then maize, like some.
Yeah, because they also found out, if you had to look at a nice statistic from history, where they found out who were the strongest animals, they always saw that the strongest animals were herbivores, and then they conducted the same experiment to find out,
like an ox.
Yeah, that the Roman gladiators were the strongest warriors that ever existed in human society, because they only ate beans. And they only ate peanuts. So you get the most energy out of it, but you don't get hungry easily.
And you don't get the other vitamins.
Yeah.
You don't get the, because, you know, meat also has vitamin B and whatnot. So if you're only going to eat vegan.
Apologies for that. In terms, it seems like just that the phone line cut off there. But still, Richard, you can still come through in terms of bringing your contributions. But still, where we ended off, and this is just before the next ad creeps up on me, the key thing here has been looking at these various, it's actually a discussion of power dynamics. Power dynamics is what seems to be the driving force. And that is just to provide a shortened answer for Richard right there. But we quickly step into the next ad break. Stay tuned.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information. Always prepare.
Paratus. Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now we come back, and I know, guys, we've actually been bouncing about in tonight's session, from looking at a dependency situation, looking at an understanding of how the global scheme of things flow. I call it the scheme of things also just to condense it for us. But ultimately, when you have to look at fourth industrial revolution's linkage to power supply, guys, we have no idea, and I'm saying it in the mildest form, we have no idea where the latest research and development in terms of electricity supply is going to take us. We have no idea. You see, understanding how a nuclear fallout like Chernobyl to a nuclear fallout like Fukushima in Japan to there was another one in the United States, a nuclear fallout in the United States. Look, the unfortunate side effect of uranium is that it is the closest, it has the most deadliest radiation levels, just like the sun. The only thing that is protecting us from the sun's sunlight, the rays of sunlight that is hitting or that is washing and flowing over our big blue planet is because of our atmospheres and the ozone layer. Those levels of our atmosphere is what is protecting us humans, us the organisms, us the plant and animal life on the surface of the earth. Because if the atmosphere was not there, we would have looked like a little overburned meatball. Overburned. To its truest and most literal sense, you can use your imagination in terms of how far you can pull that picture. That's what it would have looked like. Now, uranium, because of uranium's radioactivity or its heightened levels of radioactivity, the radioactivity is actually what is the energy source. It is actually what is the energy source. Now, harnessing it here, and the thing lies here, exposed here in our desert. It lies just there. It gets excavated just right there. As you heard, like Onjengo said, we being number 4, number 5 in terms of the major exporters of uranium. Although it sounds nice in a statistic form, it doesn't count anything for us. But let me get the next caller in just before we end. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, sir.
How are you doing, man?
I'm better than good.
You're better than good. How good can you get than better than good?
I don't know if the world is getting somewhere different that we need to adjust, but I just feel like the world, especially, I feel like it was like in Africa, but just the whole world, I feel like everything that was going right is now going left.
that is true. Yeah.
That's why when you, the radios or the videos, when you guys come like to the studio, you have to prepare like, what you wanna, like you have these things and like this and that. And you decide that, okay, maybe what if we talk about this? We check things that are really now major problems.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but I might be a bit off topic, but if, your topic today is about, if you can just make it clear for me. I understand, but like, just do it like, maybe someone is coming to the radio now.
Mm.
So that, whatever I have to say, it must also go in line with the program.
Mm.
Yeah. So
Oh, you just want me to repeat it, so you just have it.
Yeah.
So it's actually taking a look at how the fourth industrial revolution influences or ties in with the energy, with energy needs or energy demands.
Okay.
Did you want to add something on that?
You know, it's always good to say, if you can't say, if you know, if you have no idea about something, it's always good to say, I can or I can try. Mm. But depending on like the energy industry, I don't know, like in what terms, like
electricity, like, electricity, like, petrol, energy demand,
Energy demand. Is it now? You mean like locally or globally or?
We have it locally.
Yeah. But the issue that we have now, do you want to put it this way? Like, if, for instance, you know, like now locally we have a shortage. Like, it's not like a shortage.
Mm.
It's something like it's not. It's really across African countries like South Africa. You know, they always have this shutdown or how do you call it, load shedding. You understand?
Mm.
So, but in terms of energy, let me put it this way. People should understand that it's not political, but I want to put it this way, that we are still getting Bantu education. It's only that it's advanced. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of something before I talk about energy. You know, just like the accounting that we are still getting, they are teaching us that a car is a liability, where else a house is an asset.
Mm.
Which is not true.
Mm.
And if you come out of varsity with that mindset, or your mind is programmed that way, there's the reason why now we have lots of graduates that are unemployed.
Mm.
But if they would have, you see, the accounting that they are giving us in Africa is not the same they are giving in Europe. They in Europe, people, kids are taught that a car is an asset.
Mm.
Depending on, it depends. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, but here in Africa they make. I will understand if they say maybe it's not a fixed liability, but here in Africa they are teaching us that it's a fixed liability. Now I want to put it this way, that if I bought like bus for transport, like to make money, and that bus makes great money for its petrol, service and stuff, but you buy a house. We go to the bank, we go to the same loan, you buy a house, I buy a car. You keep paying that house for 20 years. You understand?
Yeah.
And me and that car is generating money. We get a loan of maybe 500. You buy a house, I buy a car.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, maybe that bus of mine, that they say it's a liability, and they give us the definition that the liability is something that keeps taking from your pocket. But my car that I bought, that they say it's a liability, it brings in money. But your house, you are paying that house for 20 years. It keeps taking money from your pocket. And even after 20 years finishing paying that house, it's not an asset because you still have to pay for electricity. You still have to pay for water for the rest of your life.
Mm.
Even the kids that come and inherit the house, they will still pay for water. So in other terms, I will understand that maybe a house is a liability because it will forever keep taking from your pocket. But they put it this way. It's an asset because you can sell it.
Yeah.
So now let me put it this way. So the way you see in Africa and Europe, the way God created these two places is that Africa got the sun and like the light, sunlight.
Mm.
But in countries like Ukraine, thereby, you know, Germany, where, you know, those European countries where the white people are safe, like more importantly, we call them white people continent. So it's more of like snow, like you are like in Norway. It's hard maybe sometimes to check, you know, to see the sun. If the sun is there, it's not that like, you know, burning your skin.
Mm.
So what they did is that they find out that in their country, for them to generate electricity, they have to do things like, maybe depend on things like water, like the way they generate electricity here in or anything, hydroelectric, what. But then they come and tell us that this electricity from the sun, solar energy, it's not good. You see?
Yeah.
But it's wrong, because for them, they cannot use solar energy because they don't have the sun.
Yeah.
Or their sun is not that strong.
Mm.
But it came again and tricked you with physical science that, okay, this is what. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm.
So that's why now we end up with having energy problem when we were not supposed to have that problem. Even if we are to say we are to make cars, electric cars, you can just make an electric car without even charging it, because we just build like a big bus on top, they just put solar.
Yeah.
And the car is driving, it's charging itself.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we divert from fuel stuff, you know, because it's also not good for ozone layers, because, you know, some cars, they remove those catalytic converters that reduce the, you know, you understand?
Yeah, that captures the, or that does the, what they call it, it captures the exhaust fume somewhere and then lessens its impact into the atmosphere. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, for as long as we have this education, like especially the politicians, you know, we are taught to believe in things like education, things like courses like education, doctors, what. But they don't want even when they are giving funds, they are more funding courses like teaching, nursing, science, and what.
Mm.
And they don't want to sponsor and things like agriculture, vocational skills. You understand?
Mm.
You know why they are doing this?
Nope.
You know how they are getting us, so we depend on them. Even now, Ukraine is under attack, but African countries still depend on Ukraine for grain, meat, or things like that.
Mm.
So they teach us this thing so that we can believe that if you are not a doctor, you are not a ward, you are not a nurse, you are not an accountant, you are not a what, a HR, you are nobody in life.
Mm.
And we see these guys, artisans like a boilermaker, plumber, it's people of low profile, you understand?
Mm.
So what does this say? Now we have three sectors, primary sector, secondary sector, and tertiary sector.
Actually, we don't have primary in Namibia. Our primary is very small. It's one of the reasons why we are struggling.
No, we do have primary raw material.
Not primary, sorry, secondary.
Yeah. Imagine we're supposed to have secondary. Tertiary, we cannot even talk about it. Maybe somehow we have secondary, because, you know, the people, the personnel that we have, that's what I'm saying, we are still getting.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Sorry my brother, you have 20 extra seconds, but we have to finish up. I have to apologize.
Yeah, don't worry, I was also sipping my wine. As I was saying. I want to give example, like we need to focus on more, our education system needs to divert from theory to kind of practical, like, you know, countries like China, other countries, they are more into, their education is focused on secondary and tertiary sectors. They produce, you understand?
Yeah.
So, but in Africa, if you compare the countries that are trying to do this, we have Rwanda, Dr. Kagame. South Africa, it's also like trying to develop. But, you know, they are also somehow, you know, they produce import, I mean export electricity to countries, but you know, their people are on, their own people are suffering. We are also talking about the Zambia of Kilindi Wanya. His name, you know, this
Hichilema. You're talking about Hichilema.
Yeah, Hichilema. Yeah. You know, Zambia now. Everyone is talking about Zambia.
Mm.
But this man, he only took off now. You understand?
Yeah.
So we are talking about Tanzania. They are trying. The late president was trying, but you see now, you know.
Mm.
So if we all like it in Rwanda now, Kagame, you know what he's saying? You know what he's doing? He's now exporting Volkswagen, brand new.
Mm.
He said, why should we only buy second-hand cars? I'm just trying to conclude now that for some of these reasons, we're going to keep talking in the radios.
Mm.
We're going to keep talking. We're going to keep writing newspapers. Be there. What we need to do is to put the right people in the position.
No, we don't need to. It's to help you and me gain access to information. Then we make decisions. We don't need to put people anywhere.
No, look. I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm.
This is Mr. Fish.
Mm.
I have a business.
Mm.
But for me, even if I need just 200,000 alone,
yeah.
Like, if I go to any of these commercial banks, they will ask for collateral, like, you must have a house, you must have a car, what.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they are not getting an order from maybe the government. The government can put these things that they should have a provision for SMEs.
Mm.
And for SMEs, if they want loans, they should be relaxed. You know, the collateral should be relaxed. Like, okay, as long as maybe you have a good business plan, you must have this and this, then you can grant your loan. So imagine now we have the skills.
Mm.
Where should we apply the skill?
Yeah.
You went and do agriculture. You are done. You have the skill. Where will you get land? They are even making it hard. Even to get a place for a ghetto. It's like the way the world is being run now. It's like the world is only for the rich.
Which is wrong.
Understand?
Yeah, but my brother, we have to end now. The matriarch is looking at me. She's here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm being timed right now.
No, I understand.
Yeah, but don't worry. We can revisit this tomorrow evening. You can come back through. You can come through, because I'm still gonna be continuing with the energy discussion. I'm not done, so the invite is still there for you to come back and we depart from where we left off right now.
Okay, no, I'll prepare enough and I'll try to knock off early by tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot for coming through, man.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of tonight's Business and Economic Zone. Apologies, guys, but the rest of your programming is to continue after this short break.